This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, and I'm in the studio with...
Arvind Raj.
And Audrey Raj.
So, we started off with how Singapore have said they want their hawker culture to be on the UNESCO Cultural Heritage List. They say it's to help to safeguard and promote this unique culture for future generations. We asked you guys what you thought. Oh, my word. shall we go with WhatsApp first?
Yeah. So this comes from numbers 7550, who says that, how do you define a hawker culture anyway? A bunch of food stalls bunched together. So he's saying, you know, how would Singapore define hawker centres that they want the badge for, right? And then there's one from Victor Lau who says that the most unique Singapore hawker culture is line up for everything, quote unquote.
I thought that was the English. We do the same thing.
You can share. Yeah, you can share. I'm sure Singapore wants to share. But there's also this very interesting one from OSK. It's kind of long. She says that the conversation sums up Malaysian attitudes towards good behaviour, from food courts to driving. We keep saying we don't do this, we don't do that properly, but why not just start with yourself? I clean up after myself at food courts and fast food and get funny looks from others, but most of the time someone else will see that and do the same.
Agreed.
The problem with Malaysians is that we look down on others collectively but fail to start changing ourselves first.
Good point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay, over to Twitter, please. Orts?
So Kuching Malaya just says, cut their water supply. Jim Chung says, what hawker culture? Unless they're talking about preserving their unique food court or square culture, Malaysia should be the one trying to save our hawker scene and not have it turned into the sanitized, for lack of a better word, like Singapore.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
I love how we're bashing cleanliness and we're just like, I don't want hygiene.
Then there's another one here that says, we are secure in our culture. Which country do people travel to for food? Which country's hawker stalls have long lines every public holiday, every school holiday, and every weekend? That's from That's My Full Name.
Okay, over to Insta Story. Hen Rao has said, most of the food was originated from Malaysia, and we do it best when it comes to street food compared to Malaysia. Is Singapore so insecure they have to list a hawker culture as part of their heritage? Hawker culture is generally very Asian. Kiat Ling has said it's ridiculous. T07X has said at least someone is doing something to preserve it.
Oh,
that's good point, right?
No, but so that's what I wanted to bring up. Is it exclusive if they get the UNESCO badge? Does it say that Penang cannot do the same thing, or Melaka can't do the same thing, or we cannot do the same
thing? I don't know how it works.
Yeah, that's something that I wanted to look up. Because if they can claim a label for themselves, like a UNESCO site, then I'm sure we can do the same thing and we can have UNESCO site. So there's no actual
problem.
I mean,
we do have a UNESCO site here, right? We have the Mak Yong Theatre up in Kelantan.
Yeah.
That's already on that list, so I don't know. But I don't know. Hawker centres just seems a little bit of an odd thing to say that's uniquely ours as a country.
Seems too broad.
Yeah.
I also feel it's quite sad that Singapore is limiting themselves to just that. Isn't there more to Singapore, more to their culture than just what they do at their hawker centres?
I don't know if I have a cricket sound here. Oh, there we go. All right, okay, let's move on to story number two. Why no one at GM is allowed to walk around on their smartphones. Let's get away from Singapore for a little while. But if you do want to feedback on that, please join the conversation. WhatsApp 018-789-8899 on Twitter or on Insta Story at BFM Radio.
All right, so at General Motors, apparently employees are not allowed to walk around on their phones anymore. This is pretty standard behavior for their warehouses and their manufacturing facilities around the factory and all that. But now this rule has extended to the office itself. That means no looking at your phone on your way to a meeting, no taking calls en route to the bathroom, no checking your email while you're going to the pantry or to the kitchen to get a coffee. Now, why? This is because the GM's vice president says that it takes away your attention from potential hazards. Now, we've all seen people around us dumb walking. That's what it's called, right?
Yep.
They're just staring at their phone screens and they're not aware of what's in front of them. We've seen people fall over.
And into fountains.
Yes. You know, and hurting themselves unnecessarily, coming back to work the next day with bruises, all because they were just too engrossed with their phones.
Seems now, very specific, all of this.
I don't know what you're talking about, Arvind. But anyways, I think it's a good thing to not have you fixated on your phone even while you're just strolling down to the washroom or to the pantry to get a cup of coffee for a number of reasons, right? In general, you can think about smartphone addiction. I've been talking about this almost every other week. People are thinking more proactively about how to untether themselves from their screens. I think in 2016, there was a survey that said that workers may be too attached to their smartphones, that they're not actually always working. Three-quarter of employers in this 2016 survey also said that they felt at least 2 hours a day was lost to distractions like texting and the internet, and they labelled smartphones a productivity killer. There's also a field of thought that smartphones and the increasingly blurred line between working and not working is actually zapping workers' energy. Business magazines frequently recommend plan time away from your phone, and even some CEOs are limiting their smartphone use. They don't pick up their smartphone as the first thing they do in the morning. They choose to only look at their smartphones when they come to work or when they are during break. They don't want it to be the first thing they do every day. But for GM itself, the smartphone concern is not so much tied to productivity, but about it being more of a distraction. They say when phones are away, people just become more aware of their surroundings and with potential hazards around the office, as you would expect, you know, in a factory, in a manufacturing facility. They just think, you know, be looking at your handphone while you're walking or texting while you're walking is just unsafe.
What happens if somebody is caught using their phone, have they said?
No, they haven't really said what will happen after, but they've just issued, it's a strict company-wide rule right now. It doesn't matter where you are in the office, you cannot be walking and talking or texting at the same time.
I mean, some people might argue that's a bit, little bit draconian, right?
Yes.
In today's
yes.
society. What would you think of?
No, I think more companies should do this.
Okay.
Because like dumb walking is something that's dangerous, one. And also it's a bad habit because it allows people to sort of think that they're multitasking, but they're not multitasking at all. And if you have the culture of dumb walking, then you also have the culture of checking your phone when you're driving. Most of the time, because you know, you think that you can do both at the same time because you don't have those boundaries, no? So,
our story the other day said, we are as humans incapable of multitasking despite what people say.
Yeah. I mean, we try, but we're not good at it. Mm. So, if you're so distracted by something else, and especially if in your place of work, then you're either focusing on one thing and giving off the impression that you're doing two things, and you're either at the least you're annoying the people around you, at the worst case scenario, you're putting yourself in some sort of danger, like walking into a lift that's not there yet.
that sounds
very specific.
Something from experience, is it?
No, of course not.
No.
So, but here's the thing: haven't you noticed some of our colleagues that you know they're going to the washroom but they're carrying their phones with
I
them?
I do it all the time. I am terribly guilty.
I didn't
doing
want
that.
To name names, but okay, fine. But that's the thing, because you're going to the washroom. Obviously, you're going to the washroom to do something, and you've got your
but
phone
you walk
with you.
To the washroom, you put it in your pocket, you use the washroom, you take it back out of your pocket.
Okay.
The phone.
Thank you for
the
that explanation.
Yeah, the phone. Yeah.
Just to be clear. You know?
Thank you for the explanation, Rich. But that's the thing. But you know, imagine if you didn't take your phone with you as you were walking out, you might bump into some of our colleagues and say something, and you know, find out something
who will
interesting.
Also socialize. Be on their phone. You know that we walk in the corridor. You're like, oh, she's on her phone.
But if we were to implement that same rule here at BFM, imagine that would create more socializing. You know, we'd all get to know each other a lot more than we already do. Imagine that. I think there could be and also, you know, some of us will not be bumping into the trash cans as we're rushing off into, you know, like the studio.
Catch a
or
plane down to Singapore or something like that. Yeah.
He's here in the office.
I know he is. I know he is. Hello, Malik. Okay, right. It's a good story. I think you're right, though. And I think, you know, despite me being terribly guilty of it, I don't think it's a bad idea at all. Stopping people from walking around aimlessly, staring into their phone. A lot of the time, it's just habit more than anything else, isn't it? Right?
Yeah.
All right. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll give you that one.
It's a bad habit.
It's a bad. Okay.
Yeah,
fine.
It's
all
a very
right.
bad habit.
You know.
Terrible.
All right.
I'm going to hold on to your phone now
got
when
it,
you go to the
right,
washroom.
Got
okay?
it. Yeah. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, oh dear. Right. We are while back onto the story about Singapore, how they want their hawker culture to be on the UNESCO Cultural Heritage List. They say it's to help us safeguard and promote this unique culture for future generations. What say you, Malaysia? Let us know about this. 018-789-8899 on WhatsApp or on Twitter. On InstaStory or on Twitter at BFM Radio. Do we have any new ones?
We have a few new ones, but I'll have to go through them first.
All right, Audrey, anything usable?
For censorship purposes.
And safe?
I'm going to need to censor these two.
All right.
Everyone's so loving of our neighbours down south.
I'm sure they are.
So yeah.
Let's take a short break then. Let's have some music. We've got some Bachman Turner Overdrive with You Ain't Seen Nothing Yet. Oh, but we do have one quickly here. The Lewis Yates has said, hawkers are not unique to Singapore. We've already said that, but yes, you're right. They are not. Every country in Asia, I assume, has a hawker stall.
Mm-hmm.
Right, quick break. You ain't seen nothing yet here on Enterprise BizBytes on BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.